Good morning, everyone. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather together on this beautiful day that God has given us to enjoy. It's so beautiful outside, the air conditioning thermostat doesn't think it needs to be on. So hopefully if it gets hotter outside, we'll get air conditioning. I'm looking at a leadership team person. You don't know. Well, I need you to go to the local funeral home, get lots of fans. We've all been there, done that. Okay. I've had plenty of time to work on my pickup stuff here, okay? I can be contrary sometimes. If you've got the guest registers, you've seen that, please sign it if you're visiting with us so that we can thank you for being here today. Both the announcements are all on the insert sheet. Just to notice that, I want to thank Amy for being here and helping Michael assist with bringing us music today. Thank her for that. You'll notice back to school drive, things are over here. I want to thank all of you who have donated. Those are going to be delivered this week or today or whenever you're going to do that for that. On the other side are just things that are coming up, just to make sure that you're aware. The volunteer opportunity is there, so please let Pat know if you're interested in participating in that. The Chosen's coming up beginning in September through October, so please note those dates. Those are all on Saturdays during those times. And then on the 24th of August, there's going to be another Cookies and Lemonade time. Our new choir director will be here to be introduced to you, and so be here. It's going to be like a meet and greet afterwards so you can meet Tony. So all those things are coming up, so please note those on your calendar. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community? If not, let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's Spirit to move among us as we prepare to worship God this day. Thank you.
Please stand if you're able and join me in the call to worship. And God created the heavens and the earth and gave them to us to use and enjoy. And God breathed life into each of us and sets us upon the earth. And each of us just of the pool of death. Everything that fills our souls with gladness and life is a gift from the loving Creator.
We are entrusted with measurable riches, for all is our God is to be praised.
Let us together worship God. Join me with me in the prayer of adoration and confession. We praise you, loving God, for the riches of your world, your greatest treasures, the light of the sun, the songbird's hymn, the music of the baby's laugh cannot be bought or sold. They are everybody's riches. O Lord, you bless us with many things. Forgive us for placing our trust in the blessing and not in the one who blessed. In your mercy, forgive our greed. Open our eyes to the gifts that truly enrich us. In Christ's name we pray.
Hear the good news. We have been blessed and are the precious people of God, and we carry with us a special promise of God that we are loved. Each day is new. The future is open. Let us bring free and joyful hearts before God this day. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
Our first scripture reading comes from the poetry of the Old Testament, Psalms 49, verses 1 through 12. Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the harp. Why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of my persecutors surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches? Truly, no ransom avails for one's life. There is no price one can give to God for it. For the ransom of life is costly and can never suffice. That one should live on forever and never see the pit. When we look at the wise, they die. Fool and dolt perish together and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they named lands their own. Mortals cannot abide in their pomp. They are like animals that perish. Our second scripture reading comes from the letters of Paul, Colossians 3, verses 1 through 11. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is adultery. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, enslaved, and free, but Christ is all and in all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amy and Michael. Let me get rearranged here. As we continue to hear from God's Word, our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 12 or 13 through 21. And this is the parable, what we call the parable of the rich fool, that Jesus is talking in response to a question, which is part of the text today. So someone in the crowd says to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he says to them, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' And so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I looked at this text, I was thinking about years ago, when I was younger and moved a lot better, we would go over to the convention center for a lot of different events. And the one I remember going to was called Toys for Adults. And they had all kinds of cars, electronic gizmos, things that really looked great, but did absolutely nothing but collect dust. They weren't to do anything. But you were told you needed to have one. Growing up, my brother was one of those. More about sound and music. And so when the VCRs first came out, for those of us old enough to remember that, my brother was into all that high-tech stuff. He had to buy a Beta player. It produced a better picture, better sound, all the plus things. Well, history has bore us out. VHS won over Beta. But he had to have it. I had a Radio Shack turntable and plastic speakers when I had my apartment. And he made fun of me. I said, "Well, at least I can hear my records," when we played records. He had speakers that could probably be end tables on your couch, big things. But he needed to hear like you were there. He says, it's like if you went to music hall, you needed to have that sound and the rumbling of the bass and all those things. Well, then cassette tapes came into play, then CDs, now we stream. And so all his cabinet in his living room, so first it was just a TV and the VCR. Then there was a CD player, then it was a tape player. And now they had to make sure it was hooked up because it's not a smart TV, so he can stream. It's all about the cutting edge thing. I think about it, it's how much money have we invested, even those of us who aren't real high tech, on all of those things in our lives. It's toys for grown-ups, because we want something. And I think it's been that way all along, but we don't always look at it that way. There are still people who talk about things in my life. When I was thinking about buying a new car, every salesperson said, "This is the car for you." Didn't make what I end up with a Toyota RAV4, but Honda, Ford, it didn't make any difference. When I walked in the showroom, "This is the car for you." There are places to go, the in place to go to eat. You can read about it all the time. It pops up on my feeds all the time when I get online to check my email. There are clothes I'm supposed to wear, you know, because it's the in thing to do. And the list goes on. We have that all the time. I got thinking, what is our attitude towards grown-up toys, toward money, but it's our attitude toward the goods of this life, the things that surround us, physical things. So the text today sort of gives us a chance to explore that a little bit, and against what Jesus is really saying. And he lays them out in this little short story in Luke today. First is, money is not bad. He doesn't say, now there was this wealthy farmer, and of course we know how bad it is to be wealthy. He didn't say that. Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus comment that money is always ill-gotten. He doesn't say that. There are relatively wealthy people who support Jesus. Matthew the tax collector was one. Zacchaeus was one. Historically, we found out that sometimes the women that were in his entourage, they were wealthy women. They supported this ministry that we read about in the text, so that it was there. When Jesus mentioned a rich man, so when you heard me read that, and you hear, well, that leaves me out because I'm not rich. Well, we don't think of ourselves as rich. But the story is not about riches. It's not about the money. It's about attitude toward riches and money. How do you view it? How do you look at it? Really, the text is more about coveting and greed. And then Jesus says, beware. Well, it's about wanting something else. The second thing Jesus goes, he says, what you really need to do is make the most out of what you have, no matter what it is. So he's not condemning the farmer for doing well and making more crops and building bigger barns. That's not what he's condemning. Things go very well until he decides that he wants to gloat over having all this for the future. Most of the time in Scripture, Jesus is applauding people who do well. The parable of the talents comes to mind. Every servant or every person gets 5 talents, and the landowner's gone for all, he comes back, and they find out what they do when they multiplied, and those who multiplied the talents were praised. Paul, when he writes to them, the church in Corinth, the Corinthians, he talks about making good use of your time, being good stewards of who you are. So it's about attitude rather than the possessions that I think Jesus is questioning. I ran across a quote that said, money is an article which can be used as a universal passport to everywhere except heaven, and a universal provider of everything except happiness. I thought, that's really cool. And then I looked, now this is from the late 80s, early 90s, when we still had newsprint. Wall Street Journal quoted it. This wasn't from a religious document. This was from the Wall Street Journal. So when the farmer gloats, that's when God intervenes in the story, and Jesus puts that into the story. We are not immune, even as a church, because we always want something more and something better. And when I was sharing this with on an online group I'm involved in about sermon study, you know, it was talking about those of us who've been in ministry a long time. Remember, I do, in my first church in Kenton County, when the TV evangelists were going rampant. And then when they all hit the wall. No, because they wanted more. And it was that they were preaching about the gospel of prosperity, you know, bigger things. And so they were using their money for houses, cars, boats, you know, whatever, instead of rolling that back into the ministry, what was going to be going on. And in contrast to that, that whole thing with Billy Graham came up, because he was going pretty strong back then yet, is that he was taking a $90,000 package, which included his salary, his pension, his housing. Everything else that went into the Billy Graham ministries. And so it is not what we have, it's how we use it and what we think about. And our attitude is very difficult, because sometimes I think we think about it, but then I thought, our political people, we're always vetting them for office, and part of it is to show what you do with your money, and do you give any to charity, do any donate? My Uncle Paul, my dad's older brother, worked for, he was an engineer for Westinghouse. And I remember as a young person growing up, he got audited because he gave 9% of his income to the church or to some mission, but 9%. And they couldn't believe that one person would do that, because that just red flagged when it came up. I never saw my uncle as rich. You know, he invested well. He took care of his family. He took care of all his nieces and nephews. But he didn't flaunt it. I mean, he's the kind of guy that would rewash a sandwich bag, you know, or roll up a paper bag and put it in your pocket and bring it back for sandwiches for at school. He was a tightwad when it came to that. But he still gave from what he could. There are other people that we know that do that. It's the attitude. You know, if you don't have it and you give it, then it's fine. And it's how do we view what we have to share with others? The other thing that sort of crossed my mind was the kingdom of God is what is important. Why are we here? Why do we worship? It's not the number of grown-up toys that we have. And I thought about it, and one of my colleagues said to me in this dialogue we were having online, he says, have you cleaned up your library yet, Marty? I said, no. He says, what are you going to do with all those books? He says, do you look at them anymore? I said, no. So what are you going to do with them? If you've been in the office here at the church, you'll notice I didn't bring any extra stuff. She's laughing over here, but yeah, there's not a whole, because I don't need those anymore. You know, I still like to read and I still do those things, but to collect them just so they can sit on the shelf and make my library look good isn't necessary. We have to decide what's important. There's a story that goes around, I think it came from England because of the verbiage, but the farmer came to pay his rent to the nobleman, and the nobleman had this great love of money. And when the farmer settled his account, he said, my lord, I will give you a shilling if you let me go down into the vault and look at your money. And because it's a shilling, the nobleman said, sure, it's more money. The farmer goes down, he looks in the cache, he sees his chest full of gold and silver coins, and he stands there for a while and he looks at it. He turns around and he says, well, I'm as well off as you are. And the nobleman says, what do you mean? He says, you just sit there and look at it. I did too. I'm just as well off as you are, because it's just sitting there and not being used. The question is what do we use in this world to promote what we think is important? And it's not always about, this text starts with the money, but it's not about that. It's about who we are as a person, as we share in this world. We all have gifts, talents, and we have money. But it's all about your attitude. What do you share? How do you share it? Who do you share it with? That we are about being the people of God. How are you filling your toy box? With stuff you want or stuff you need? Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us join together in singing hymn number 502, Be Thou My Vision. I will ask those who are able to please stand as we sing. Thank you. You may be seated. As we come into the time of prayer to God, are there joys and or concerns to be lifted to this community of faith this morning? If not, let me share a little bit. You've all been asking. So the rash healed, but it was still too red for the surgeon to say, yeah, I'm going to cut your knee out. So we're postponed, and I'm on antibiotics for 10 days, and then we'll go back. Actually, it's on lunch bunch day in the morning, so hopefully when I come into lunch bunch, I might know tell you what's going to happen. So I'm doing that. But I got a text, and last week you paid for Chuck, and he texted me after he went to see his doctor, and he has an open wound, so his surgery got postponed as well, so we're in the same boat, which doesn't make Michael happy about the tenor section in the choir this year. So if we're both out here not being able to get up there. But that's that. So there are always those people that are in going through what we're going through. And sometimes we talk about it and sometimes we don't. There's always things going on in the world that we constantly pray for. There's in the bulletin, there's that whole list of things that we pray for, individual situations, to continually remember that there are people out there. Just because they look okay does not mean they're okay. So we need to pray for all of those. So as we prepare to do that and lift silent prayers to God this day, let's settle ourselves down a little bit. I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and let it out. Breathe in, God, and breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in. Almighty and holy God, you are all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, and you know what brings each of us to worship this day. And you know whether it is a need to praise you, or to seek forgiveness, or a sense of duty, or family obligations, or a weekly habit, or anticipating seeing some friends, or for some other reason, or for a combination of all of those reasons. But we believe, O God, that no matter the reason, we are here seeking your presence to allow us to think new things about how we need to live our lives, to have maybe some redirection of who we are. In this busy days that we live, O God, work, play, doctor's visits, whatever we do to keep us busy, this is a time to come and be still and know your presence and be reminded of who and whose we are. So God, we thank you for your never-failing love, the constant presence that is around us, in which you surround each one of us each and every day. We have offered before you some prayers and concerns this day, but there are many that lay upon our hearts and our minds. So be present with those for whom we are praying, whether those needs are physical or psychological or relational, that sometimes seem to be so overwhelming that we don't know what to do. So listen, O God, as we continue to offer to you those things that we need help in doing, decisions, difficulties, whatever happens. We stand always, God, as we gather here this day in your presence under your mercy that we have received through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we offer this prayer in Jesus' name with a prayer that he has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you.
Because we care, we give, to lift burdens, to provide fresh water, to share bread, to build self-esteem, to make disciples. Most of all, we give in thankfulness to God, who has multiplied in us great blessings. The ushers may now come forward.
You'll notice our prayer of dedication today is not only to the offerings that you have given, but also to the offerings of the food which will be going, our school supplies for the children. So join me in prayer, please. Thank you, God, for the opportunities to share in your creative and restorative work among people. Because you have blessed us, we have much to give. We offer along with our monies these gathered school supplies to be blessed this day. It is our hope that the children use them in continuing their education and understanding there are those supporting them in that endeavor. These offerings express our gratitude and our aspiration to be more fully your own loyal community. We give them all in the name of Jesus Christ, your greatest blessing. Amen. As we remain standing, let us join together in stating our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Beloved in Christ, the gospel tells us that on the first day of the week, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, and on that same day was known to two of the disciples in the breaking of the bread. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. Men and women, youth and children gather from the east, the west, the north, and the south to gather about the table of the Lord. This table is for all who believe in Jesus Christ and wish to partake and participate us with this day. Let us pray. It is meet and right and a joyful thing, O God, to give you thanks. You bid your faithful people to cleanse their hearts. You prepare with joy for this feast before us. And we have gathered in prayer works of mercy renewed by your word, that we come with fullness of grace which you have prepared for those who love you. O most holy and gracious God, in infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death in the fullness of time, you sent Jesus Christ, the only Son, to redeem the world. And he emptied himself in the form of a servant, being born into our likeness. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. On that night that Jesus sat with the disciples in that upper room, he took the bread. And after he gave it thanks to God, he broke it. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. After he gave thanks to God, he says, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you and many for the remission of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, when recalling your Son's suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we ask you to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we have offered in union with Christ's sacrifice for us, as a living and holy surrender of ourselves. Send the power of your Holy Spirit upon us and on these gifts, that in the breaking of the bread, the drinking of the cup, we may know the presence of the living Christ, be renewed as his body, cleansed from sin by his blood, and serve you in unity, fidelity, and joy, until you bring us with all your saints into the fullness of your total kingdom. Through your Son, Jesus the Christ, with Holy Spirit, your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, all things are now ready. This is the body of Christ broken for you. My friends, take and eat.
Thank you.
This cup is a new covenant given to us by Jesus Christ that we might have forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life. My friends, take and drink. I would ask those who are able to please stand. Let us join together in the prayer of thanksgiving and remain standing for our closing hymn. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have called your people from the east and the west and north and south to eat at the table of Jesus Christ. We thank you for Christ's presence and for the spiritual food of Christ's body and blood. By the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us faithful to your will. Go with us to the streets, to our homes, and to our places of labor and leisure, that whether we are gathered or scattered, we may be the servant church of the servant Christ, in whose name we rejoice to pray. Amen. Today we were challenged in the Gospel of Luke to understand our attitudes towards what we have, whatever that is, to understand how we share it with others who may be in need of it, to continue to think how we work in this world, spread the good news of God through Jesus Christ to those who need to hear it. Until we meet again, let us go in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us go in peace.